Welcome to the Fearless Faith Radio Show, which follows me, Mary Grothy, and my path as a Christian executive in corporate America. I share the highs and lows, provide scripture and teaching, and then interview influential guests who are walking the talk. I aim to help fill the discipleship gap for Christians in the workplace by creating powerful and real weekly lessons we can all learn from and implement. Welcome to the Fearless Faith Radio Show, and welcome to week 8. 8 is such a wonderful, beautiful number. I don't know, it's just so round, and it just keeps going and going and going, sort of like God. Okay, today we're joined in studio by Lauren Atherton, and I will welcome her officially to the show shortly. But I got to tell you, though, I wish our coffee conversation was recorded, and we had coffee just a few weeks ago. I could have stayed at the coffee shop for another hour at least. It would have been some good radio. I definitely need to stop having conversations when I meet someone for the first time. I should just vet and move on and save the meat for when we're actually recording. But we promise we're going to make a good radio today. We're going to recreate it. Her story is super awe-inspiring. It is one of pure triumph with Jesus. Like one of those stories where Lauren, by all means, should not be sitting in this room here today. So, like, I cannot wait for you to hear how Jesus has worked in her life. Like, it's unbelievable. She survived an emergency open heart surgery in 2017. I'm not going to share any more about the story on that because my jaw was to the ground when she was telling me this. So, Lauren left the corporate design hustle. I understand that. We talked a couple weeks ago with Erin Harrigan all about the hustle. Oh my gosh, all these high achieving, powerful women with all these incredible talents, and then like we just go poor until there's nothing left, right? So she left the corporate design hustle to fulfill her dream of creating a design studio exclusively for nonprofits, which is amazing because I love nonprofits too. Lauren's life looks completely different than what she originally imagined, but her unexpected diagnosis has also led to some of her most remarkable leaps of faith, which we get to talk about today. So real quick, before we officially welcome her to the show, I've got a few things to cover. A little life update. Recently, I know you guys keep hearing me talk about it, but I've been thoroughly enjoying my new friends and connections in the C-Suite for Christ community. They think they're up to 15 chapters now, maybe 3,000 members worldwide. It was just one of those God things. I stumbled upon it one day on LinkedIn, and I've enjoyed the fellowship and community here locally now that the Denver chapter has launched. So Lauren and I actually got to hang out like a couple weeks ago at the first ever chapter meeting, and it was amazing. If you are interested in learning more about C-Suite for Christ, especially our Denver chapter, just go to csuiteforchrist.com. I have already felt like there's this gap in my life. There was this gap in my life. I was a part of so many executive groups and revenue leader groups, and it was so mechanical and like really good, thoughtful stuff on the job. But I'm like, but my heart is for the Lord, and I don't have anyone to talk to about that. And like, it's who I am. It's not like work Mary and believer Mary. You know, I'm one person and I infuse my faith in my work. And I always felt so lonely at all these other coffees and meetups and round table meetings. I'm like, can we actually speak from a source of truth? And that truth, I've only found it in C-Suite for Christ. So I'm just beside myself. You guys have to go check it out. But it's not just in Denver. It's like everywhere. It's across the world. So if you're not local, it's okay. It's okay. Go find it. So secondly, my husband and I are very grateful for your continued support of our Christian clothing and swag store. You can find it all at doremarkablework.com. Today, I am sporting the Jesus Loves You crop sweatshirt. So this is being recorded on video. So I need everybody to just pause for a second so I can show it off on camera. 3, 2, 1. Okay, thanks for marrying with me on that. All of our audio listeners are like, what is happening in that studio? That's okay. You can just watch the YouTube playback and you will find out. But anyway, if you haven't ordered your hat, your bag, your shirt, like get on there. The orders are coming in. We're so grateful. We know that people are wearing their faith on their sleeve and spreading the good news of the gospel, specifically about work, that work is good. Anywho, you know where to find it. We would also love to learn what you want to see in the store. I can custom design about anything. So if you're looking for something that's not currently in there, submit those ideas to me and I'll whip it up and we'll get something produced for you. Hey, maybe we'll name it after you. Who knows? All right. Personally, too, I've just been in a super good place. Like, my heart is calm and full of Christ's peace and love. I've enjoyed the last few months at home. Like, I had a crazy travel schedule last year, but the last few months I've been home outside of one trip I recently did. And I know that my travel schedule is about to ramp up. Coming up here, I have 4 trips over 4 weeks straight. It's going to be a transition period for my family. I know that everyone's got to get used to it again. But I am just continually praying to stay healthy and to be impactful in each trip that I have, because time away is a sacrifice, but there's an opportunity in that sacrifice. I think the word sacrifice and things like sacrificial giving or sacrificial giving of time or money or what, it's like, hey, we're faced with a decision. And if you're going to make the decision to sacrifice that time or that money, like, make it count. And so I'm excited about bringing impact on each of the trips that I'm on and not dreading anything. Like, I'm going to be there, so I'm going to be intentional and impactful in each of these trips. One of the trips, though, it's our spring break. We're going to our fave little Airbnb in Waco, Texas. This will be our 3rd year going there. It is a home away from home. We love it. It's a block away from Magnolia Silos, and it's just amazing. So we love it. It's a cute little farmhouse, has an amazing porch swing. We're going to have the absolute best time there, and I can't wait. So at least my family and I will all be together that week. It'll help break up the 4 weeks of travel, which would be amazing. So usually in this segment, I feel like I always have so much to share. This is the one where I get so wordy and I just ramble and I talk super fast and I pour out about all this stuff, but it's actually been a relatively quiet week on my side, and I really do want to just lead into the first break so we can go ahead and welcome Lauren in. It's also kind of awkward from her side sitting, being quiet on the other end of the table here in the studio. So let's head into our first break. We will be back in just a moment.
Attention Christian business owners and entrepreneurs. Are you aiming to grow your business and magnify your impact? Innovation is key. It's not just about marketing and sales. It's about evolving and expanding in ways that matter. We at Strategic Growth Engine are committed to your growth through innovation. We're offering free access to our exclusive strategic innovation resources crafted for Christian entrepreneurs like you. Text INNOVATION to 21000 for insights and tools that will help you innovate and grow your business and your impact. Your business is more than a commercial entity. It's a platform for positive change. By innovating, you don't just grow financially, you grow in your ability to serve and inspire. Don't miss this chance to combine faith, innovation, and growth. Text INNOVATION to 21000 now. That's INNOVATION to 21000. And start your journey of transformative growth today.
At Cross Purpose, we are a movement dedicated to abolishing relational, economic, and spiritual poverty through career and community development. We believe in the power of community and the impact of giving. Give the gift of generational change. Join us in supporting motivated individuals on their journey towards a bright and new future. And these careers are just the beginning. Your generous gift helps us provide essential resources and opportunities to individuals who are determined to break the cycle of poverty. With your support, we can make a lasting impact on their lives. And your gift will support the incredible leaders that we serve, individuals who are not just changing their own lives, but transforming their communities. Together, we can help our neighbors escape poverty, enter meaningful careers, and create lasting change in their lives. Whether you're looking to volunteer your time or make a financial contribution, visit crosspurpose.org to learn how you can get involved.
Have you ever felt the need to carry a message of purpose into your everyday life? Well, we've got some exciting news for you. Introducing Do Remarkable Work, a Christian clothing company founded by the dynamic husband and wife team, David and Mary Grothy. Inspired by Colossians 3:23, they believe that whatever you do, you should do it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord. David and Mary's journey began with a conviction to make their work a reflection of their faith. They believe that whatever your passion is, your work matters. Your efforts can further the kingdom and can be the love and light of Christ through your work. Do Remarkable Works signature clothing and accessories will empower you to share the good news of the gospel with encouraging phrases and trendy designs. Visit DoRemarkableWork.com to place your first order now. Make a statement with your wardrobe and proclaim the message that your work matters to God and the kingdom. Be part of Do Remarkable Works' mission to inspire and uplift others through the power of faith and fashion. Visit DoRemarkableWork.com now and get ready to wear your faith.
Welcome back to the Fearless Faith Radio Show. I'm your host, Mary Grothy, and today we have my friend Lauren as our guest, and she will be joining us in just a few minutes. Yes, she is sitting at the other end of the table being so quiet for me. We were introduced through our friends at Brand Builders Group. That's BBG. That's what I call it for short. I don't know if other people do, but I do. They recommended that we meet, and I didn't know if Lauren was a believer or really much of anything about her, except that we were encouraged to meet. In fact, I think the connector was, you both live in Castle Rock. I'm like, okay, out on a whim, I'm like, I'm going to go meet this woman. I have found when someone makes that recommendation, there's usually something. I've been disappointed a couple of times in those awkward blind connections, but on this one, I'm like, I'm going. But it could not have been more than just a couple of minutes into our coffee conversation. We realized we both love the Lord and have embraced the troublesome paths we have had. We use it for His glory, but you know, her path looks a lot different from mine. So I'm done rambling. Lauren, welcome to our show. Would you please?
Thank you for having me. This is so cool.
Yes, you're so welcome. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners? In this introduction, like, I want to hear this life-changing health event that you had. So let's recreate our coffee.
Absolutely. I'm Lauren Atherton. I grew up in Michigan and moved out to Colorado about 12 years ago now. And in 2017 was a big year. There's a lot of highlights. I got married in June, which was so exciting. Mm-hmm. And then 6 months later, I found myself in an operating room.
Yeah.
And it was a really stark difference. I mean, you know, when you're newly married, it's like, oh, the whole world has opened up. I'm so excited for all that's to come. And one day in December, I actually fainted at home a couple times. And there's a series of miracles that had to happen. So I wish I could share them all. But really, fainted at home. I was working from home freelancing at the time. I'm a freelance graphic designer. And fainted. And I just, you know, I woke up on the floor. And I remember being really disoriented. Like, what just happened? Like, okay, I woke up on the floor. That's weird. So I texted my husband and just was like, hey, I'm just going to lay down. Like, I don't feel very good, but like, it's okay. You know, I'll feel okay. And he texted back and was like, no, like, this isn't normal. I'm going to call an ambulance. And at the time, this was 2017, he was working in an office 20 minutes away. So he's rushing home. I woke up again, like, okay, I don't remember falling asleep. Like, what happened in the last 10 minutes? So something was wrong. But honestly, I didn't know what had, like, I was healthy, like, happy, newly married, like, just working from home, owned my own business. And so I was just really excited about all life had to offer. Fast forward a little bit. He arrives at home. We head to the hospital. And to the point that the paramedics didn't think it was an emergency, to the point that they were like, oh, it's probably just like a pulmonary embolism or something, you know, like, it's just something, like, not that it's minor, but it was not. They're like, you're 28. Like, this doesn't happen to 20, you know. So they were kind of like, okay, but they couldn't really find a pulse on me, which if you like look at my arms, it's like you can see like I'm healthy, you know, like, so there's just a few things that happened that were like, that's weird. We get to the emergency room and actually what's funny, I can see where we used to live from where we are. And so that it's like
it's
this whole
back
area
all the memories.
Brings back all the memories. Get to the emergency room and they could not figure out what it was. They were like, maybe it's a pulmonary embolism, you know, but my blood pressure was dropping and I was turning blue. And so they knew, they're like, she's not getting good circulation. Mm-hmm. Like something's wrong. I went to a CAT scan, came back. They're like, okay, that didn't show anything. But this is another miracle, that somebody in the room, one of the emergency room nurses, techs, mm-hmm. you know, was talking about, you know, maybe it's something to do with her heart.
Yeah.
And so they put me in the scanner again, and they could literally see where there was a tear in my heart, and like the blood was basically trapped around my heart.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yeah, there was no like circulation. Again, I'm in a hospital and I'm laying there. Sorry. And I'm literally like, okay, you're in the right place. Like, they're mm-hmm. going to fix it. I just had this peace and calm of like, I don't know. And I couldn't really see myself. You know, when you're in a hospital, yeah. you're like laying there.
Sure.
But at the time, in hindsight, my husband was fielding all the questions, all the cardiologists coming in going like, you know, he's asking the hard questions, like, what are her chances? Mm-hmm. And the cardiologist came in and he's like, not good. This isn't good. So he's looking at his bride of six months. Going, she could die. Like, I could lose her right now. And I'm just laying there going, okay, I'm cold. Like, can I get another blanket? You know, but also like, I'm in the right place. They're going to fix it.
If you had to be anywhere in that moment in time, you were definitely in the right place. That piece is unreal in that moment.
It was unreal. And like, it's giving me chills just like remembering it, because it was just such a, like a trust in what, like, one, the education and the team that we had. At first I was like, don't send me to Aurora. I don't want to go to Medical Center of Aurora, because I was like, oh, it's probably not as good of care. Yeah. But then I was like, okay, this is actually the best place we get to be. They have the best nursing staff. I had a surgeon who could handle the surgery and like knew the person who founded Louise Dietz syndrome, which I was diagnosed with later. And so there's just all these things that lined up that I'm like, just miracles on miracles. And then I look at my scar. At first I hated it, and now I'm like, okay, it's a reminder of God's goodness. Like, down my chest, a 12-inch scar where they had to open me up. And I didn't even know I was having surgery until the next morning. I woke up. I remember going in the OR. They took my nose ring out, and I was so mad about it. And then I woke up the next day, and I'm like, what just happened? And Brett was like, you just had open heart surgery. And I'm like, okay. And just trying to like come to terms with that and thinking like, okay, great, we fixed it, done. Like, I'm definitely an achiever type where I'm like, check, we
list.
Fixed it, done, you know. And then it was really, you know, a couple weeks later in our post-op with the surgeon, that he's like, no, you actually have a condition that could mean more surgeries, more monitoring, more medication, like for the rest of your life, which was really hard to come to terms
28.
With. 28.
You
yeah.
have like a brand new husband. You're out here in Colorado and you have every ounce of future just right there.
Yeah.
And you're being told with, by the way, recovering while you're laying there with just having your chest wide open,
yeah,
and you're getting this diagnosis.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really tough. But at the same time, you know, it's one of those things, like, I can't change it.
No.
And okay, God must have, like, there's a reason for this, but also, okay, how do I wrestle with that? Like, how do I reconcile that? Like, I am a believer. Like, I'm putting my faith out there. I'm doing everything right.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm using air quotes, but like, and it's just like, in some ways, I mean, over the last few years, it's been like wrestling with that and like, yeah, what does that mean? And what is that? How do I deal with that? But also just so thankful to be alive. We found out later that I had a 1-3% chance of survival. And most open heart surgeries, you have a 97% chance. But because this was emergency, it was like the chances were way, way lower.
Oh, my gosh. And so when we had coffee, you shared with me that I think it was the day before you were invited to go to Broncos Stadium mm-hmm. and you were there for a work reason. Right. And you're like, cool, I'm out on the field, like I'm here on a game. But something was off.
Yeah. Yeah. So when a friend of mine, he was doing social media for the Broncos mm-hmm. at the time. So he invited me to go with him. And I was like, I'm not missing this opportunity.
No.
This is so cool. So we get below the stadium and I felt this pop, like a pressure change. And it just was really bizarre. And even that, like, I had migraines in my life. So I'm mm-hmm. like, it's probably just a migraine. I'll take some Excedrin migraine. I hadn't packed it. But in hindsight, if I would have taken that, that would have sped my heart rate up and it would have been even more dangerous.
Like, literally, God's hand is just all over this. Okay, so you don't have the Excedrin. So yet another godsend in the moment, because yeah. that could have just escalated the whole situation.
Yeah.
So you feel this pop. Now, all of a sudden, you're not feeling so good.
Yeah, I had this weird pain between my shoulder blades. And I was like, I got a new chair. So I was like, maybe it's just aches. You know, it's like a cute chair, not a functional chair. And so I was like, maybe it's just aches and pains from that. And so it just felt off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, later finding out that heart, when women have heart issues, it presents itself really differently than men. Like men, it's like you see the left arm and it's just like, oh, you know, I have to hold my arm, or it's like pain or shortness of breath. Mm-hmm. And in women, it's kind of like this feeling of dread, back pain, like between your shoulder blades. And then you'll feel this like jaw.
I heard about the jaw pain.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And so it's just really different. So at the time, I don't, what 28-year-old knows no. what those signs are?
Not many.
But about after the third quarter, I was like, you know what? I'm just not feeling good. Like, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. And I'm like, I'm just going to head home. Like, I just don't feel good. I had, like, the music off the whole way home. And then the next day, all of this
you're fainting
heart,
and
it was wild.
But
yeah.
even that, you know, you're behind the wheel driving home. Like, you could have fainted yeah. while you were driving. I mean, that right. could have been lights out for you then, or even someone else, causing an yeah. accident. Like, just seeing God's hand through the whole thing. I mean, you could play the what ifs game a million times on yeah. how this could have played out differently. And then, as you're saying, as you're wrestling with, or then you change to reconciling,
yeah.
how is this God's plan for my life? I mean, you have been so faithful in your walk. You came out here, you were helping to plant a church. Like, we had this awakening moment when we realized, when we were having coffee, my husband and I, who were living in Parker at the time, there was a church called Thrive Church that was being planted. And I don't remember like how it came about or what, but we said we'd go try. I think it was just not far. It was an elementary school, not mm-hmm. far away from where we lived. I think we saw signs. We're like, let's go try out a church. You know, this young, cute little couple. And I just remember how welcoming everyone was. And that was an amazing church plant. Like, and I know that you were a part of that team
yeah.
and you were there. And I'm thinking, man, we may have met crossed
we
paths.
We probably did, because I was on the greeting. Yeah. I mean, at that stage, I was like greeting everyone. So we probably met years
oh
ago.
Oh, my gosh. I'm
yeah,
sure I shook your hand.
Small world. Oh, my gosh.
But here's this woman of God who, you know, like dedicates to planting a church and being outspoken in her faith and walking this walk. And we just never know what God has for us. And in that moment, I do think about the peace. I've landed in the hospital a couple of times, nowhere near with what you're talking about. And I also have that calming sense, like, I'm in pain, I'm not well, and if there's anywhere I need, it's here. And I just have to trust that God is going to play out his will for my life.
Yeah.
And that whatever it is good. And even if it doesn't appear good, that God's going to use it. And it's going to further the kingdom in some way, shape, or form. I just love that peace that you had. I think it's so, so, so powerful. Okay, I want to dive in more, but we need to go on a short break. So bear with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Are you ready to step into a world of imagination, inspiration, and pure delight? Then look no further than Life at Home Gifts and Home Decor, nestled at 109 4th Street, Castle Rock, Colorado, affectionately known as the White Barn in the Alley. Immerse yourself in a hidden gem, a haven of shop therapy waiting to transport you into a world of unique and sentimental gifts. Discover the true essence of expression through art and beautiful home decor. Come on down to Life at Home Gifts and Home Decor, the White Barn in the Alley. Let us be your guide to a world of beauty, inspiration, and heartfelt connections, because life is best lived at home. Can't make it to the White Barn in person? No worries. Visit www.lifeatyourhome.com for an immersive online shopping experience where our treasures are just a click away.
Are you located in the Denver metro area and ready to take charge of your future? At Cross Purpose, we don't just see you as a student, we see you as a leader, the leader of your own change. And our career development programs are designed to teach you practical skills to help you unlock your own potential and to take that crucial step towards the life and career you've always dreamed of. Choose from our diverse vocational tracks and enjoy the support you need throughout your journey. Build the skills you need for a better career. And here's the best part, it's all for free. Yes, you heard it right. Gain valuable experience through our career coaching, professional training, and increase your chances of landing that dream job. You are ready to launch your new career, so apply now at crosspurpose.org. Because at Cross Purpose, your success is our mission. Together, we can abolish poverty and build a better future for all. Go to crosspurpose.org to apply.
Welcome back to the Fearless Faith Radio Show. I'm your host, Mary Grothy, and I just started interviewing our guest, Lauren Atherton. She's a former corporate design hustler turned entrepreneur. She just finished sharing her story about her open heart surgery and the challenges that came from that. She had previously sent me this scripture. She said it was important to her, and I want to read it here because we're going to ask her to expand. I mean, it's kind of obvious, though, when you hear that story, to read the scripture, but it's very meaningful, and I want to hear more. Let me read the scripture. It's Psalm 73:26. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. Oh, Lauren, he is mine forever. Okay. So yes, it's quite fitting. It's beautiful. It matches your testimony. Like, is your testimony. Can you tell me more about how it's played out in your life?
Yeah, I think that scripture, there's a few scriptures, especially in recovery, as you're kind of making sense of, like, what does my life look like now? And especially, like, newly married and having this connective tissue disorder diagnosis, yeah. Finding out, you know, okay, we may not be able to have our own kids.
Oh,
we may not be able to, like, I may not be able to lift above 20 pounds for the rest of my life. I'm going to need yearly scans. Like, and there's one thing, I think in the past I would probably be like, okay, like, God's got me, like, this will be okay, like, just optimistic, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, it was a really hard season to go through and be like, you know what, God, I know you knew this would happen.
Yes.
When you knit me together. But I definitely had to go through, like, okay, God, did you use spare parts when you knit me together? Like, how is this part of your plan? Like, how did you know? And then, like, grieving, like, I would have these episodes where I would, like, just start crying randomly, or like grieving, like my body was processing, or my mind was processing what my body, or my, you know, I couldn't even have words for it. And I just kept coming back to this scripture of like, okay, God, but you're my hope, mm-hmm. forever. And the reality is, all of us are going to face health issues,
yes.
or grow old, or, you know, like, these bodies are temporary of ours.
Yes.
And so that really, like, understanding that and operating with that in mind definitely put into perspective, like, okay, I want, like, my work to mean something. I need to build in time to rest, because mm-hmm. I was definitely, like, hustling, working all day, working at night, after, like, early in the morning, all of, you know,
yeah,
weekends.
You can't do that anymore.
No. And so it was really, like, there was definitely some, like, silver linings,
yes.
to it that I'm like, okay, yeah, like, this is actually more healthy for me. And you try to, like, reconcile that.
Yeah.
But then it was also like, but God, like, so much has been taken away. And, like, I didn't do anything to deserve that. That's not a result of sin or anything, you know? And it was just, like, understanding, like, okay, God, maybe there's no answer for this. And that's a tough place to sit in and, like, know that, like, maybe I know God has a plan and he'll mm-hmm. use it for good. But if he doesn't, he's still good.
Yes. There's a lot of why me and mm-hmm. why, just in general.
Yeah.
You're freshly married. You've got everything out in front of you. You're building a life with your new husband. And all of us have a vision for what that looks like. I mean, I fell in love with my husband the first time I met him. And I knew. And I... Actually, the night before I met him, I had a dream, which I know was a God dream, and I lived an entire lifetime with the man before I met him, and I can't remember specific. I know we had a kid. I thought we had two kids in the dream, but I can't remember. So I had a whole lifetime there, and I feel like if that rug was pulled out from underneath me, I would be grieving an outcome my heart had attached to that was yet to come. And the only thing that I can correlate to this that happened in my life was when I was 18 and I got in that car accident, because up until that point, I had been training as a triple threat, an actor, singer, dancer, and the best of the three talents for me was a dancer. And I had a future, and I was in such a terrible, traumatic upbringing. I was ready to break free. I did everything in my power to get good grades, financially support myself, and hone my craft of dancing. And I felt like I was 1 month away from graduation, and I had my whole life planned, and I was 1 month away from breaking free. and being out on my own and starting my college journey. And I was going to major in MCDB and minor in dance. And I had this whole professional dance career mapped out. And then I was going to fall back on this medical degree. I had everything planned to a T. And every day, that was my North Star. And I was fighting for it. I was suffering through the abuse at home, just knowing. I was counting down the minutes in the day. And then 1 month before graduation, that car accident happened and my entire future was just taken away from me. But I didn't know Christ. I had no hope left, Lauren. And I grieved and grieved and grieved. And then I gave myself, with the help from the enemy, a death sentence. And I gave up. And I entered into the darkest, worst 4 years of my life. And I gave my soul to the enemy. And I gave my soul to the world. And God had different plans, and only through his graces and his goodness, and I didn't know him yet, he carried me through and he pulled me out of that, and I came out on the other side. But it's so different because you're getting the rug pulled out from underneath you. Your future as you had envisioned it looks very different now, but you have this hope and faith in Jesus, but you're still, which is a human. I mean, this is us crying out to our Creator. Why? Why you? Why me, God? What is the plan for my life? How do you use this? I'm 28. Like, what do I do? And it wasn't just a one-time surgery. Mm-hmm. You got news that you were going to endure a second open-heart surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. So 2 weeks after the first surgery, in our post-op appointment with the surgeon, he's like, you know, we just did what we had to do to fix you. Like, you were in
an emergency
to keep you alive. And, you know, he's like, you know, we do see an aneurysm on your aortic root. And I'm a slow processor. So for me, I'm like, I had a sheet of paper and I'm just writing notes. And like, I'm just processing it. And like, my husband, he's a quick processor. So he's like, we get out of that meeting and he's like, okay, you might need surgery in the next 6 months, but we've got this, you know? And I'm like sitting there going, I might need surgery in the next six months to a year. Like, they're basically waiting for me to heal.
So they can
open me up again. And I was like, okay, you know, and again, I went into that meeting going, great, fixed, done, like, moving on.
Can I sign that paperwork?
I survived
this.
I'll never see you again. Like, it's nice to meet you. See you later. And it really, that was really hard to hear. And so I had my second open heart surgery in 2021. The recovery was half of what it was for emergency, just because I was in better shape and like healthy going in. Mm-hmm. But that was like a mental battle of like, you don't know what you don't know, but then
the second time,
you know what to expect. And so I had to like really prepare for that and go like, okay, I know this is going to be a long battle, but like, here we go. Like, you have to have it. And it really, you know, it was hard. That was a mental lift of like, and I thankfully had found a therapist like a year before. So I was like, thank you for, and a Christian therapist who just walked through all these tough questions and thoughts with me. It was so helpful to process the things that I'm like, we don't have answers for it. And I don't think we will this side of heaven, you know?
No, I don't think we will. And I think some people lose out on a lot of their lives because they have a relentless pursuit of finding those answers. And I feel like some of those answers aren't meant for us on this side.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of what faith is, right?
Yeah.
That we don't have to know, but we can still love and trust. Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually quite beautiful. And it takes a lot of pressure out of my life. At the top of the show, I was talking about I'm in this odd season with so much peace in my heart. Like, it's so full. I've had situations arise and I can steer them right in the face, smile. I know whose I am, and I know who is for me. And this is just an earthly little speed bump. And I could choose to give it power, worship it. But look, I'm in a good season right now. Like, check back with me on next week's show. It could be a completely different situation. And that's part of the beauty of us being humans in a way that I think we were created. We were created to never be enough. We are never enough without him. He created us just short of the goal. I mean, we live in a fallen world. And the only perfect one was his son. And boy, did he live an unbelievable, triumphant, beautiful life that is a perfect model of who we can be and how we can be and how we can live. But it's the goal. And we will always fall short of that because we are not Jesus. We are not. And we are reliant upon God. And I love that because he is such a good and loving father. And when we call to him and when we call upon him and when we lay things at his feet and when we surrender and when we call out for him, he responds. And it's one of the most beautiful relationships. And I've been able to come to this point in my life where I'm okay not having all the answers. And that took a long time to get here because I needed to know. I'm so black and white. I have to know. Like, I cannot operate in the world of gray. And so here you are. So you've had the second surgery. What part of this time frame did your company come about and this naming of your company? Like, transition to that part of the story for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had been freelancing, like I said, when I had my first surgery. And then in recovery, I just, for years, I'd held on to this little hope, you know, on the back of my head of like, and heart of like, oh, I want to own a design studio for nonprofits. Yes. But then, you know, it's like, can I make money doing that? Is that okay to do that? I don't, you know, so you kind of talk yourself out of it. And in recovery, I was like, you know, I think it's time. I think one, I don't know how many days I have left, but then also, you know, I want my work to mean something and my design to actually like multiply people's impact on the world. And so I would say probably 2019, I started transitioning out my freelance, like small business clients and started taking on more nonprofit clients. It wasn't overnight. It was definitely moving from a freelancer to like, okay, I want to have a small team of freelancers that I can work with and like just keep it lean. I want to be able to work from home. I have to be able to rest when my body tells me to. So there was definitely some like requirements for the business that I was like, yeah, I've got to make sure that I'm building in the schedule. Now, that being said, as soon as I started building the business, I hired a naming agency out of Minneapolis, a shout out to Pollywog, and they helped me come up with the perfect name. And so the name of the business is Heart Spark Design, which they presented four options. They got to the fifth option. They're like, we think you're going to like this. And they showed it. I was like, that's it. That's it. That's it.
What was the first four? Right. Even four? You're warming me up here.
It was so perfect. It was so perfect. And so in February 2020, I launched HeartSpark Design, and then just kind of...
Wait, okay, so like, did you launch it on February 14th?
Or... No. It was February 17th, so not too far off, but yeah, that would have been perfect. So yeah, coming up on 4 years, which is so wild, but just kind of putting out there the gifts that I believe God's always gifted me with. Mm-hmm. I've always been artistic and just really understand people and what they need and like... really at a soft spot for nonprofits and helping them build their brands. And so that's what we do at HeartSpark. Just kind of posted what I knew and like shared what I knew, and it just grew and grew and grew. And now we serve 100% nonprofits, which
is so beautiful.
Yeah, it's really an awesome privilege to get to do that.
Well, it is, because they're mission driven.
Yeah.
And so your work then goes on to impact many, many. I mean, talk about seed multiplication. That's impressive. One seed creates a thousand forests. Is that what Ralph Waldo Emerson? That was misquoted just now, but whatever. Like, it's amazing because a lot of nonprofits, they have the heart, they have the vision, they know the mission, but they lack some of those mechanical skills to get it out into the world. And you're unlocking that. So it is such a noble commitment to have transitioned your business. And I know God's working through you in that. Question for you, just because you are a woman of faith, you're outspoken, like you are a Christ follower through and through. You'll never hide that. How do you incorporate your faith into your work?
That's a great question. I mean, really, with the nonprofits that we work with, it's focused on, like, there's always a vision and a story behind why they were founded. Mm-hmm. And that's really what, like, as a branding expert, my goal is to get to the heart of that and then help encourage them to, like, let that shine. Don't be ashamed of where you started from or, like, oh, it's taken us this long to get there or to make this much impact. But, you know, being able to bring their story to life, and I think that's really, like, I always almost see myself as like stewarding their story, where it's like, okay, this is really precious, like this, why you started this nonprofit, this organization, and then the impact it has on people. So a lot of times it's almost like a, sometimes I feel like a designer slash therapist, mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, share what, you know, what your nonprofit's about, what are you doing, what are your goals? And most of the time that's really helpful for the founder to feel seen and heard, and like supported. And then once we like rebuild their logo, their design style, and then their website, it's like, oh my gosh, this is what I pictured all along, which is just so encouraging to me. And I'm like, to me, that's like a skill God's given me years ago. So I'm like, being able to use that and work with people who are just affecting lives and being able to raise more money for their organizations to do more good. And like, it's, yeah, it's really a beautiful opportunity. I'm so thankful.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. And I love the steward of your story. Mm-hmm. Like that is, a lot of them get stuck.
Yeah.
And then the mission falls flat. I mean, you can watch some of the worst products and services out there get sold because they have great marketing and they have a great brand. And then you watch these gems, these unbelievable hidden gems that no one knows about. They don't go anywhere. A lot of nonprofit leaders and mission-driven organizations, it's because of a calling that God put on these people's lives, whether they're in the know and acknowledging that or not. But I've worked with so many nonprofits, and I can tell, I'm like, I know that God is putting you to work through this, and you're answering the call.
Yeah.
And then you align with someone like you. I mean, that's putting your faith into your work. And I think the outcome of that is going to be felt by so many. I'm a little jealous. Like, okay, I got to get another keynote book because I got to start impacting more lives. I'm feeling like this drought. We got to get going here. Okay, we have to enter into one last break. So let's do that real quick. And then we will be back in just a minute.
Have you ever felt the need to carry a message of purpose into your everyday life? Well, we've got some exciting news for you. Introducing Do Remarkable Work, a Christian clothing company founded by the dynamic husband and wife team, David and Mary Grothy. Inspired by Colossians 3:23, they believe that whatever you do, you should do it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord. David and Mary's journey began with a conviction to make their work a reflection of their faith. They believe that whatever your passion is, your work matters. Your efforts can further the kingdom and can be the love and light of Christ through your work. Do Remarkable Work's signature clothing and accessories will empower you to share the good news of the gospel with encouraging phrases and trendy designs. Visit DoRemarkableWork.com to place your first order now. Make a statement with your wardrobe and proclaim the message that your work matters to God and the kingdom. Be part of Do Remarkable Work's mission to inspire and uplift others through the power of faith and fashion. Visit DoRemarkableWork.com now and get ready to wear your faith.
You are ready to transform your workplace and look no further than P&I HCM, your partner in building and maintaining the experiences your employees deserve. At P&I HCM, they take pride in offering cutting-edge payroll and HR solutions designed to streamline your people operations from recruitment to retirement. P&I HCM is your partner in creating a remarkable employee experience that boosts engagement, productivity, and your bottom line. In a world where only 33% of the workforce is engaged, choosing the right human capital management technology is crucial. P&I HCM isn't just a solution, we're your strategic ally. With P&I HCM, you're not just adopting technology, you're embracing a culture of belonging, appreciation, and longevity. Because when your workforce thrives, so does your organization. If you are ready to save time and elevate your employee experience, visit www.pnihcm.com now. And let us show you why we're the driving force behind successful workplaces.
Well, Welcome back to the Fearless Faith Radio Show. I'm your host, Mary Grothy, and we are now way deep into our interview here with Lauren Atherton in studio. This is awesome. I think we're doing a really good job recreating our coffee chat.
Yeah, I think so too.
This is good radio. Yeah. It's good radio. Okay, going into our last segment, I ask every guest this question because it is about fearless faith. So what advice do you have for our audience on how to have fearless faith?
I think a lot of times we think fearless faith, that like being fearless is like something really big and bold and like a huge leap of faith. Mm-hmm. And I really kind of want to challenge that idea of like, I think being fearless is also like being able to like, kind of like what you were talking about earlier, like sit in that uncomfortable zone, like the hard things of life, where, you know, being willing to just be with it. And not have the answers, or not have like, oh, right, I have to explain this away, or I have to figure out like why this is happening. And I think in some ways, you know, especially with surgery and recovery and this like unknown future that, you know, I'm walking in, it's really being able to sit in the discomfort and go, okay, God, but you're still good.
Yeah. Hi. That is absolute fearlessness, because in those hard times and in the unknown and when the enemy can isolate us, that's when the enemy comes in, and that's where the fear comes in. And the cure for fear is faith, and fearless faith is all about that. And you're right, sometimes when you have someone like me who's big, bold, and dramatic, I will never stand down for my faith. I am willing to lose it all for my faith because Jesus paid it for me. I'm willing to pay it for him. There's nothing in this world more important than my faith. I will die on the cross for that. And he knows that. But I can be like obnoxious about it sometimes. I'm like so outspoken. I mean, I created a whole clothing brand. Like, shove it all in people's faces, because that's my version of fearless faith. But in the dark and in the quiet, and in the waiting, and in isolation, and in the gray area where it is so easy to let that fear come in and paralyze you and steal, kill, and destroy your fearlessness, which I think is more bold than me shouting from a mountain. Anyone with a big mouth can do what I do. But in that moment, those are the moments where I know that fear takes me over. And no one has said this on this show, and I think that's one of the most beautiful answers that we've gotten. And also faith in definition, there, you can describe faith in so many ways, but it's believing when you can't see.
Yeah.
And you had so many things in those moments that you could have taken hold to. You could have believed. You could have allowed it to reform your identity.
Yeah.
And you didn't.
Yeah. It's, well, and fearless. I think awesome. Well, thank you. But it's also like the little steps along the way too, of like, okay, God, I don't have the answer, but it's also given me such empathy and grace for other people who don't have the answers too, and go, okay, I can sit in that because I've sat in that. And I've had friends tell me, you know, walking through tough stuff, who are like, thank you for just seeing me and just putting your love in action, and not having to like say all the platitudes and all the things that we say sometimes, that like can actually, for someone going through it, it's like, what do I do with that? You know, like I'm still trying to make sense of all this. And in some ways, you know, I know we talked about this at our coffee too, you know, I appreciate people saying I'm praying for you. And of course we had prayer warriors during my surgeries, but at the same time, you know, sometimes, especially for someone going through something and like in the in-between where it's like, what do I do with this? How do I reconcile this? How, like, what does this mean? Does God still love me? Does God still see me? I mean, there's a lot of questions that are processed in the in-between. For us, maybe instead of like, I'm praying for you, like, hey, I would love to bring you dinner this week.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, I'll sit with you if you need someone to sit with you, but like, I'm going to send you food. What day would be best for you? And I think sometimes like that speaks volumes of like just being fearless in that faith, because it's uncomfortable to sit with someone who's just lost someone they loved or is going through a tough diagnosis. Yeah. And it's hard to be in that space. But I think, you know, that's one of the greatest gifts that I think this whole journey has given me, is like, I'm not afraid of those spaces where it's like, oh, this is awkward and uncomfortable, and like, I don't know what to do with that. And that's okay. Like,
Yeah, it's really good counsel right there. Many of us, if not all of us, have been stuck, paralyzed a little bit, maybe out of fear or concern of saying the wrong thing. I've had friends who have lost loved ones. I've had friends that got bad diagnoses. Like, it's, I've had it, and you just don't know what to do. And there's, like, this fear of, I don't want to say the wrong thing, so sometimes we don't say anything. And then this person feels even more alone, isolated, and unseen.
Yeah.
I was putting myself, you're a really great storyteller. When I listen to you talk, I'm visualizing and thinking, if I were in those shoes and somebody just sent me dinner.
Like, right.
I was, you know, I was sick recently, and I cook in my house. Like, I'm the chef, and I take a lot of pride in that. And I cook up a big spread every Sunday night, and I do Sunday dinner, like family dinner. You know, I cook like almost every night, but Sunday dinner, that's my spread. It's like where every pot and pan gets used. My husband loves cleaning up after me. And I was laying there sick. And in that moment, like the feeling helpless, like the biggest compliment would have been, don't worry, I'll get dinner for us tonight. But I was carrying this weight, and I'm sitting there thinking about cooking and providing and doing all of that. And finally, I just texted my husband. I'm like, I ain't got nothing.
Yeah, let's pick up something.
Go pick out something. But I'm thinking about, like, you know, that was just a cold or flu or bug or whatever. An actual, like, you're in the hospital, you're in recovery, or you're looking ahead at that. Those little gestures and things that we can do. What I took away from what you said is you just felt seen.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes our loved ones, our people, our friends who are grieving, like, it's just the smallest gesture that we can show them that they're seen. And I also, like, what do you think? I'm going to create this assumption, but you have to tell me.
Yeah.
Asking, like, how can I serve you in this? Do you need to just sit with someone? Like, can we put on a movie together? We don't even have to talk about anything. Just spend some time together. Do you need to vent? Like, what can I, should I pray with you? What serves you in this moment? Like, how would that be received? Just asking.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, like, I can speak to my recovery, like, you're processing so many different things. And some things that only my husband and I knew we were processing at the time. And I'm like, I'm not ready to share that publicly, but it was, you know, you don't know, like, when you're in recovery, it's like, I don't know what I need.
Ugh.
And not everyone feels comfortable to say that. So I think maybe instead of like, hey, can I, what do you need, or let me know what you need, can be really like, okay, that's nice, but that doesn't, you know,
well, I don't know what
it doesn't
need.
Do anything. I don't know what I need, you know. And so just taking initiative, like, hey, I'd love to come and watch a movie with you if you feel up for it, or if you want me to just drop off popcorn and a movie, like, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. And that meant way more to me. Like, people would just say, I'm thinking about you.
Gosh.
Or I'm praying for this specifically. Like, yeah, it can be really really tough to walk through that. And then, yeah, just, and there's always grace. So, like, don't be too hard on yourself too. If, like, I don't know what to say or what to do. What if I do the wrong thing? What if they're, like, gluten-free and I bring them a loaf of bread? Like, am I going to offend them? Like, there's grace for all of that, like, in those moments, because it's really, you're just trying,
it's,
you know?
Gesture. Yeah.
I've
never heard anyone say it that way. It's just being seen.
Yeah.
When we're at our lowest points, at our weakest points, the points where we're grieving, where we're feeling isolated, we're in that state of the unknown. You know, I caution saying the fear of the unknown, because some of us actually have some great peace offered through the Holy Spirit and through Christ in those moments that we can't explain. I mean, that's what the scripture says. I mean, we have peace that makes no sense. And I have experienced that peace where I'm like, I should be upset right now, concerned right now. And I'm not. But even still, I may not know what I need in the moment. And just being seen is really powerful. I think those are wise words. When we were having coffee, I told you about a young friend of mine who lost her dad at a young age. And she lost a lot of friends. It was a very, very traumatic death as well. And her young friends, 24, 25, 26 years old, I mean, they just didn't know how to be there for her, didn't know how to grieve. And a lot of them just shut her out because they were paralyzed with fear of saying the wrong thing.
Right.
And she's so young and grieving such a traumatic loss. So she didn't know how to cope with that grief, navigate that grief. It was so hard. And she lost lifelong friendships because it just drove a wedge. People don't know what to do. But yeah. I think you've given us amazing counsel on this topic. I hope that's
helpful. And I think it's helpful for employees too. I've had employees like have babies or lose someone or like have a tough diagnosis. And it's like just saying, hey, you know, I'm going to bring you food or I'm going to send DoorDash to you. What are you craving? Like just those things that like, again, like that doesn't have to be over the top. It can just be a little gesture that's just taking that step and that initiative and like letting someone know, even employees, like, hey, I care about you and I see you more than just what we do together, you know?
I love it so much. It's so straightforward and it's so easy. It's such great, wise counsel. Okay. We have to wrap, which is insane. Because again,
time flies. Like,
how have we been sitting here for an hour? And let's just get our phones out and schedule our next coffee. Okay, on that, how do people get in touch with you?
You can follow me on LinkedIn or connect on LinkedIn or heartsparkdesign.com and check out our work. If there's a nonprofit you know that could use some branding and design help, please send them our way.
Yeah, well, she does real good work. You got to go look at the website. It's fantastic. I'm going to say one thing just about working with those nonprofits. My son goes to a private Christian school, and I love the school. I love the heart of the school, and I saw their website, and I'm like, how are y'all going to grow? And this is before I formally knew you, and I saw a website designed for a nonprofit that I was passionate about and would contribute to, and they had one of the most beautiful websites I ever saw. And so I found out who the company was. You're out of Nebraska, who built that site, and I brought them into my son's school, and the gift of a fresh brand and a website that worked was one of the biggest blessings to them. And we gifted it to them. So my husband and I for it for them to help just unlock some of the growth of the school. And the way they received that, I can only imagine the impact you're having in people's lives. So I would encourage our audience, like, take Lauren up on it. Give her those introductions. I know you're selective on the projects that you take. You're not looking to build, well, at least in this season, like this huge scaling business. You're very focused on impact and working with the right projects. And so if you have that one to bring forward, please do. And Lauren will take a look at it. But I mean, her work is breathtaking. Okay, that's it for today. I just want to thank everybody so much for being amazing listeners. Lauren, thank you for sharing your heart.
Thank you for having me.
That was so fun.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm super grateful for all of you. Just a reminder that the show, yes, we go on air as we are right now in the Colorado and Alabama markets, but it does replay as a podcast, and I need you to go on and rate and review the podcast, and I need you to subscribe on YouTube and share the show. I know it's a lot to ask, but your sharing and your rating and reviewing, like, that's how we continue to grow. That's how we get the good news and the gospel out into the world. That's how we fill the discipleship gap for these unbelievable Christians who have marketplace talents, who choose to show up in the secular workforce. Like, we need this fellowship. We need this time. And so thank you for all of your support. I appreciate y'all. Don't forget, go grab a copy of my book, Destination Remarkable, Surviving the Dark Side of Success. Go swag up and do remarkablework.com. And we thank y'all so much. We'll see you next week. That's it for today's episode of Fearless Faith. Be sure to connect with me, Mary Grothe, G-R-O-T-H-E, on all social platforms, and to learn more about my keynote speaking and other ways to work with me at marygrothe.com.